this is a very pivotal parsha in the building of Am Yisrael and in appreciating the building blocks of Am Yisrael. And those building blocks are being named and described by Yaakov Avinu in these brachas. It will take a couple of minutes to focus on one of them. One of them, the language of which and the imagery is striking. Yisachar chamor gorim, roveitz benim mishpasayim. Vayar menuchi kitov es arz kinaema, vayet shechmol lespol, vayim masoved. He's a bony donkey. He's a chamor gorim. Doesn't at first strike us like a particularly attractive description. And the chamor is, we associate with hard work. He sees that rest is very attractive, and rest is very sweet, and that's why he is ready to, literally, to bend down his shoulder to take a package, and he's ready to work hard, which is also paradoxical. He saw how sweet rest is, so he decided to work hard. Rav Hirsch addresses both of these issues, beginning with the chamor gorim, the bony donkey. So Rashi already quotes based on a gracious Rabbah. Meshach Rav has a couple of approaches. Rashi Kedarko is one of Chazal's great curators. Rashi and the Rambam are very different stylistically in a host of ways, but one of the common denominators of Rashi and the Rambam is they are two of the great curators of Chazal, in the sense that the work that Rashi did, specifically in the Pirush Al HaTorah, and the work that the Rambam did, specifically in Mishnah Torah, was not to be mechadesh in the usual sense, but rather to curate, and from a mass of approaches in Chazal, to pick the one that they're, in the Rambam's case, the one shita that he'll see a machlok asug is to pick the one shita at halacha l'maisa, and only that makes it into the Mishnah Torah. In Rashi's context, mostly in the area of Agadah, he'll look at the vast swath of what the Balei Medrash offer and pick the one perish, and often a lot to be appreciated in the subtlety of that work of your curating. So the Bereishis Rabbah presents three or four approaches. Rashi chooses specifically that Yisachar is a chamor in the sense that he's sovel ol haTorah. And the Bereishis Rabbah, you look back in the Bereishis Rabbah, much as the donkey is willing to carry a heavy load, donkey was the truck of antiquity. So Yisachar is a truck. He's a truck for Torah. He's willing to carry that load. It's hard work, but you wonder about the bony. It's chamor gorim. Doesn't seem like a very attractive type of, nor does it seem like a very meaningful type of description. So Ibn Ezra says that look, the bones are the hard structure. The skeleton is ultimately what provides the strength. So Ibn Ezra says it's a focus on the load capacity of Yisachar. Rabbeinu Bachaye talks about Yisachar is bony in the sense that he's more bone than muscle. And he says, that's a Talmud, you have a Talmud Chacham who doesn't have a lot of gashmias, and he looks a little emaciated, and he works hard learning. Kliyakar, as an aside, Kliyakar sometimes has social commentary mixed in with his Pirush Al Torah. The Kliyakar comments that Yisachar was born from the episode where Leah's Yatsanis, and he says, as a result, the Tamei Chachamim, who either are genealogically or at least spiritually descended from Yisachar, they often have to travel from town to town. This is the fact that Rabban and Rabbeim often end up in the day school movement, moving from town to town. He says, that's all an onesh for Leah being Yatsanis. And maybe that relates also to the bony picture that Rabbeinu Bachaye paints. But there's a third approach to the significance of the bone. Aside from the Ibn Ezra in focusing on strength, and Ben Bachaya focusing on perhaps the emaciated look, the spare, shall we say, Spartan look, Rav Hirsch has a fascinating approach that is built, as is often the case, on contrasting synonyms. He says the more typical word for bone is etzem. A gorem as a bone is something we associate more with Aramaic. Garma, ligarme, latzmo. Then garma da asara bir, Rabbi Yochanan says, this is the bone. So Rav Hirsch wonders what the difference is between etzem and gerem. And Kedarko, he looks at contrast, and he looks also at the at the morphological similarities. So he says, Etzem, he sees as being cognate to Osem, to a storehouse. And he says, when you use the word Etzem, the more typical term, we're focused on a bone as something that's solid. Something that's solid. But there's a different perspective on a bone. So as you look at the word Gerem, so he says, if you look in Melachim, in the ninth chapter of Melachim Beis, when Elisha, the beginning of the end for Achav's family, Elisha sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lechem HaShachta as Yehu Benimshi, go find Yehu, and you tell him, he had been working for Achav, tell him that he's now a Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're now Melech Yisrael, and you're gonna deal with Achav's family as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wishes. And Elisha comes in, he finds Yehu in private, pours oil on his head, gives him the Nevuah, Kol Amar Hashem, you're now Melech Yisrael. Yehu leaves, and the chevra outside say, what does the Meshuggah going to want? That's why I refer to Elisha as the Meshuggah, HaMeshuggah Hazeh. And he says, oh, it was nothing, it was nothing. No, tell us. And finally he tells them, Chazos v'chazos, here's what he told me. And they take him, and long live King Yehu. They bring him, the Hamlacha takes place at the Gerem Hamalos, at the steps. So Rav Hirsch says, Gerem is a word that in here means bone, can also mean step. He suggests that Kerem is cognate to Gerem. And Kerem, if you travel around the country, you'll see that vineyards were often terraced into the side of the mountain. And even points out that the language, that Shorash Gimel Resh Mem, in Rabbinic Hebrew, obviously comes up time and again. You're learning Maseches Tuvos. So it comes up time and again in the context of grama. Legrom is to cause. So how do those fit together? What do causes have to do with bones? What do steps have to do with bones? So Rav Hirsch suggests, well, what steps have to do with cause, causality, he says the Gerem is a focus on either on a step-by-step process or on the fact that the bones, while Etzem focuses on the bones qua strength, the bones qua solidity, Gerem highlights bones qua part of a greater whole. When you think about a skeleton, each bone is part of a much larger structure that together obviously provides much more than any one bone would itself provide. Yisachar is a chamor garem, means he's focused, number one, on the step-by-step. And he's willing to do, line by line. One of you is a grandson of a Talmud of my grandmother's. My grandmother was an accountant, and the grandfather of one of you was a Talmud in accounting of my grandmother. So I remember my grandmother saying this was, accounting talk, but it's a lesson for life. So you got to take things line by line. It's back in the days when spreadsheets were large sheets of paper with lines on them. You got to take things step by step, line by line. So that's legrom, a kerem, a step by step. The bones are, each individual bone is part of a larger picture. So he says, on one level, chamar garim, Yisachar is one who's ready to work hard and take things step by step. And there's more. Now let's go to that next pasuk, the second of the two psukim of Birkas Yisachar. We had opened before with two questions. Number one, what's with the bony donkey? Seems like an odd metaphor. Now we begin to appreciate. Again, Ibn Ezra says it speaks to strength. Ben Bachai says that it speaks to a sense of self-sacrifice, the willingness to be bony in order to accomplish things. Hirsch says it speaks specifically, not the Etzem, but the Gerem, to the step-by-step. And what else is there in that step-by-step? So I mentioned before, question number two is, you told me he's a hard worker, now you're telling me he loves to relax, and loves to relax and therefore is ready to work hard. Some sort of funny paradox going on here. So Rav Hirsch suggests that Garem also captures part of a larger whole. Yisachar sees work, and Rav Hirsch understands the context of his parish, the Alpi Pshuto, the focus here is on an agricultural work. In contrast to Zvulun, who's on the move in international trade, Yisachar is working as a farmer. Vayar menucha ki toves ha'aretz ki na'ema. Ve'et shechmo l'sbol. He realizes that he's ready to work hard because he recognizes the value of rest. In other words, he recognizes that there's more to work than the work. The work is not merely an end in itself. The work is a means towards something that can only truly be accomplished at times of rest. Now the Gemara says in Megillah, Gemara says in Maseches Erevin, that Shmaita ba Tzilusa, Hilchasa ba Tzilusa, that great success in learning often requires focus. Gemara talks in Megillah about stepping into a Beis HaKnesses in order to learn, because they need to talk in learning, and it was raining outside, not that they minded the rain, but because they needed to focus to work the sugya. I believe the Me'iri in Horios, the Gemara has a series of simanim, which the Me'iri gives rational explanations. Gemara speaks about learning at a river, so that your shmuas will flow. So Me'iri understands it's not only a question of the symbolism of the continuous flow of the river for the continuity of your learning. He says it's also the clearer, fresher air at a riverside that will allow you to learn more effectively. Because Shmaita, because as the Gemara tells us in the Gilan Avon, Shmaita Bait Silusa. So the Rav Hirsch suggests Yisachar is ready to work hard because he sees a greater purpose. Because he sees that this work will enable him to accomplish the ultimate goals that he's going to succeed at during moments of rest, during moments of menucha. Rav Hirsch does not point to the Rambam, but I would connect it to a comment, the Rambam, more than a comment. The concept of the Rambam built out significantly, more famously in Hilchos Deos, in the third chapter of Hilchos Deos, but earlier in his life, extensively in Shmona Prakim, in the introduction to his Pirush HaNavos, he talks about sleep from a different perspective. What's the great mitzvah of sleep? He says, even sleep can be a mitzvah. How so? The third parak of Deus is dedicated as a whole, I believe, and you see it more when you compare it with the Rambam's treatment and development of ideas in Shmona Prakim, where he's more conversational. The third parak of Deus is dedicated as a whole to a Jewish perspective, an authentic Jewish perspective on physicality. There are three halachas in Paragimel of Deus. So the first halacha is he rejects what's not a Jewish perspective, and the second two halachas, the latter two halachas, he develops in place an authentic Jewish perspective. Paragimel halacha Aleph is dedicated to, we reject the Christian and Muslim idea, which is really, if you dig back, a Zoroastrian dualist idea, that the physicality is fundamentally bad, the physicality is fundamentally anti-spiritual. We reject the idea that's expressed by Christian monasticism and monkhood, that the holiest person is the monk, is the hermit, who's totally divorced from physicality, and that enjoying food and marriage and so on and so forth, all of that is a concession. And that, again, that goes back to the Christian, classical Christian approach to original sin. And it's really pre-Christian. It's really a Zoroastrian approach, which Yeshayahu rejected directly, with which we open Birkas HaShachar every morning. Yeshayahu reminds us that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Yotzor Vorei Choshech. Oseh Shalom, as Yirmiyahu says, Uvorei Ra. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Hashem Echad, means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one creator of all. And if there's evil in the world, if there's suffering in the world, if there's temptation in the world, it's not despite HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way C.S. Lewis presents it, the way Milton presents it, the Christian approach that Satan is a semi-autonomous power, you know, living in the basement and trying to fight against God. We reject that. The authentic Jewish approach, Hashem Echad, is that all evil and all suffering and all temptation in this world is by the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Satan, as is clear in the opening parakim of Iyov, that Satan is one of the malachim whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu created with specific tasks, and he reports HaKadosh Baruch Hu as much as any other malach does. We accept the notion of Hashem Echad. That's our core belief. And one of the results of that, one of the consequences of that logically, is that we don't see a dualism between spiritual and physical. HaKadosh Baruch created the physical, same way he created the spiritual, which means that we, on the one hand, reject the secular hedonistic approach, the amoral approach, that just do whatever you want. On the other hand, you also equally reject the Christian approach that the physical is the enemy of the spiritual. It's neither. HaKadosh Baruch created both, and we're meant to use it kefi tzivuyov. HaKadosh Baruch who guides us in how to do it well. It's not a free-for-all, and it's not a negative. It can be done with incredible positivity. So that's the Rambam develops in the first halacha of Perek Gimel Hilchos Deos. We reject the bifurcated view of the Christians and the Muslims, as he puts it. Then, the latter two halachas, in Halachas Beis and Gimel of Perek Gimel of Hilchos Deos, in Halachas Beis and Gimel, he says, he develops the notion that there's a mitzvah medivrei Kabbalah that appears in the safe, in a pasuk in Mishle, b'chol drachecha de'ehu. What does that mean? B'chol to know HaKadosh Baruch in all your ways. So I think at Bar Ilan, the journal devoted to Torah Mada is entitled BDD, b'chol drachecha de'ehu. Fascinatingly, the Rambam does not see that de'ehu in that context in the sense of what we call Mada in the modern sense. He valued science, but that's not how he interprets that pasuk. Talks about science in Parag Beis, earlier in Parag Beis of Hilchos Yesodei Torah. There he understands Da'ehu, B'chol Drachecha Da'ehu, the Rambam writes, to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of your ways means to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the mundane parts of life. B'chol Ma'asecha Yiyu L'Shem Shamayim, he quotes as well, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Rambam understands that this is in a certain sense the most common mitzvah. The mitzvah that fills for most of us, most of our week, for most of the years of our lives, is finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the mundane. Our lives are often full of activities which are neither overtly mitzvahs nor overtly averis. I'll eat food, it's not treif, but it's also not a sudas yomtiv, neither here nor there. I'm eating breakfast, I'm eating lunch, I'm having pizza, I'm having shawarma keves. Whatever it is, I'm eating, it's kosher, it's neutral. I'm going to work, I'm not saving people's lives, I'm not cheating, so it's neutral. I'm going to the gym, says you're adopting a healthier lifestyle, that's one of the Rambam's examples there. He says, or a guy goes to sleep. Not in Adera, not in Mitzvah, sleeping in Tefillin, that might be a problem, sleeping based Medrash, that's a conversation for a different time. Right. Sleeping. Not the Kohen Gadol falling asleep on Leil Yom Kippur. Nothing wrong, nothing right. The Rambam says, you could do all those neutral activities, nothing treif about it, not violating any yisur, and that's fine. But Zera Tursky points that when he presents, Rameh Tursky, when he presents that Rambam, what a missed opportunity, because Rambam says you can transform neutral activities into mitzvahs by the power of intent. Rambam says, if I eat because I'm hungry, nothing wrong with that, nothing right with that. If I work out, I change my eating habits, I go for a jog because I'll feel better, puts me in a better mood, gets the endorphins going, nothing wrong, nothing right, neutral. I go to work because that's what I do, nothing wrong, nothing right. I go to sleep because I'm tired, nothing wrong, nothing right. He says, but if you spend time focusing on the fact that I'm going to eat so that I'll have the energy to do mitzvah X, Y, and Z. I'm going to work so that I'm adopting a healthier lifestyle so that I have more mitzvah Hashem, more years on this planet, and more functional years on this planet, to be able to raise children, raise grandchildren, do X, Y, and Z. So if a fellow spends, you're probably not going to have kavanas while you're sleeping, that's quite a madrega, but they spend the 5 seconds before you go to sleep considering the fact that I'm hitting the sack, not because I'm tired and want to go to sleep. Good, nothing wrong with that. But imagine if an element of that was, I'm going to sleep now so I can get up for chakras. I'm going to sleep now so I'll be calmer with people, so I'll be less irritated tomorrow. If there's a kavana, if I'm thinking in an authentic way about what I'm doing and what it can accomplish in my avodas Hashem, I've just transformed those neutral minutes and hours into minutes and hours that are absolutely mitzvahs in and of themselves. That's this mitzvah of B'chol Drachecha Deyu, quoted in Shulchan Aruch. It is, in a certain sense, again, as I said before, for many of us, for many of the years of our lives, that will be the most common mitzvah. Is this mitzvah of B'chol Drachecha Deyu, transforming the neutral activities of our lives into when I see that, once I transform my perspective about the neutral parts of my life into seeing them as vehicles for greater ends, I've transformed those activities themselves into a kiyum mitzvah, chol ma'aseich yihiyu l'shem shamayim, or b'chol drachech de'eyu. That's what the Rav Hirsch sees in these two psukim in this week's parsha of Birkas Yisachar. Vayar menucha ki tov esa'art ki na'ema. He appreciates what the ultimate goals are. He appreciates the ultimate goals of Limud HaTorah, of Yedias Hashem, of relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which comes to greatest fruition, Shemaita Bai Tzulusa, at times of focus. And because he appreciates the value of those great goals, he's ready to get to work, to do all the other things he may need to do to enable all the steps to enable that final goal. He sees, and here we come back to the language of Chamor Garim. As Rav Hirsch said, not focusing on the bone as a thing of solidness in and of itself, not qua solid, but chamar garem, steps towards a greater goal, a piece of a greater whole. When you see your life in a unified way, when I can see all the different parts of my life as not disparate pieces that don't hang together, but parts of a greater whole, a skeleton in that sense, that's incredible. Yisachar chamar garem, he works hard because he has this holistic view of understanding how the parts of his life all revolve around and fit under a rubric of Avodas Hashem. And I will close with the following. This notion of B'chol Drachecha De'eyu, this notion of a Vayet Shechmo L'sbal that's energized, that's powered by V'yar Menucha Kitov, it's of course critical that it be genuine, that it be legitimate. This is not meant as license to fill your life with whatever you want, because I'll give it, the blessing. There's an urban legend out there. Some people in the food industry are under the misimpression that food becomes kosher because the rabbi blessed it. Right? Whatever the rabbi blesses is kosher.
It's a kosher food.
That's exactly. So we're aware of the fact that's not the case. So similarly, b'chol drachecha de'eyu, kol ma'aseich yihiyu l'shem shamayim, doesn't mean that I can glibly, bless whatever it is, and automatically now it's a mitzvah because I believe in everything being l'shem shamayim. This is a standard to keep. This is an ambitious standard to keep. It means being authentic and honest about what are the core goals, what are the ultimate Avodas Hashem goals in my life, and thinking realistically, sitting with myself and thinking realistically, how does this particular activity enable that ultimate goal? And asking the honest question, does it enable the ultimate goal? And maybe it doesn't. Maybe it needs to be changed. But to think teleologically, what are my goals, and then to plan accordingly. What are my goals, and what do I need in order to get there? That's what how many Rishonim understand the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. I say Taras Hakeva or Malachtecha Arai. I believe Ren Yona, his Pirish on Avos, makes the point, which the Mesilas Yesharim makes as well. The Ramchal in the beginning of the fifth parak of Mesilas Yesharim. It may say Taras Hakeva Malachtecha Arai is not always going to be a question of quantitatively where are the hours greater. It will certainly be a question qualitatively of what's my purpose and what's my goal. It also is going to translate into what is my authentic kavana when I'm involved in malacha, and it will also translate into how I reshape my malacha. As Ramchal points out, Ramchal was certainly, now is not the time to discuss the fascinating biography of the Ramchal for some other time. I've had the chance to have that conversation with some of you. He was certainly a man who did not reject working for a living by a long shot. As a matter of fact, if you look at the uncensored versions of the end of the 26th parak, the closing lines of Mesilas Yesharim, he says, even someone who's Taras Omnaso could also become as much of a Baal Madrega as a nenen yigir kapo. He was certainly not anti-working for a living. Ramchal says, when Chazal said, they didn't mean that you shouldn't work for a living. He says, of course you should. But they did mean that you have to, it's important to work for a living, and it's important to at the same time think about, what do I actually need? Am I seeking the promotion because I've thought it through, and that those added funds will enable me to accomplish X, Y, and Z? Or I'm seeking the promotion just because I've bought into career as all? So that's why Chazal said, think about what you actually need. And if your focus is on learning and your goals are all, your ultimate goals are defined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tarek Mitzvahs, in an authentic way, the rest of the pieces can fall into place when I'm being honest with myself. That's so important right now, and it's so important as you consider next steps as well. And it's so important at every stage in life when you're making decisions, which is Ramchal's focus. Ooh, wow. Wow. You don't yet know how lucky you are. Do you have the schus to spend years of your life with Rabbi Bernstein? You'll look back and you probably appreciate somewhat now, and you look back years from now, and you'll appreciate that much more. Speaking of which, as you make decisions, and that's Ramchal's, one of his primary foci in the prakim of Zahiris, is making decisions in a way that's driven by ultimate values. Neither making decisions willy-nilly, just doing whatever, nor making decisions in a calculated way, but where the values that drive the calculations are values of expediency or values of prestige or values of things that are here today and gone tomorrow. But instead, to think of what really matters. The more I clarify my goals, the more I think about where the Kadosh Baruch Hu want me, that will be expressed both in when I have time, where is that time dedicated, and where is that time invested, and it'll be expressed as well if I'm authentic with myself in decision making at every stage in life. When I'm 20, when I'm 30, when I'm 50, when I'm 80, if I have clarity about what's really important, as much as possible, I'll be focused on those important things. And even when I'm making decisions of urgency, to use Eisenhower's and Stephen Covey's terminology, but those decisions also, the decisions about the garem, the decisions about the yetshech molus bol, will be driven by how am I going to work and what am I going to work and which career and which opportunity. Where am I going to go to school? What sort of schooling do I want? Will I take the promotion, not take the promotion? Do I want this path in the industry or that path in the industry? Will be driven by what's really important. What's really important? What will enable the greatest learning? What will enable the greatest dveikus b'Kadosh Baruch Hu and avos Hashem for myself, for those with whom I'm connected? And Emir Hashem, as you said before, each of the brachas of Yaakov are relevant to anywhere we began, to all of Bnei Yaakov. And there are lessons for each of us to be drawn from each of these brachas. And Emir Hashem, you should absorb everything this fantastic yeshiva offers you in terms of growth in your Limud HaTorah and in terms of growth in a broader perspective of how that shapes your Avos Hashem as a whole. To become more and more of a bony donkey, in the best possible sense, to become a chamor garm who appreciates the larger picture and the larger skeleton. And Emirat Hashem, as you continue to go from yeshiva to yeshiva, you should continue to find places where you can grow maximally and where all of the shechmal l'sbol fits in a holistic, consistent way into the vision of the menucha kitov. Shekhar Hevra, thank you so much. And I look forward to chances to schmooze. I look forward to chances to reconnect or to connect for the first time.